It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And lastly, you can find this episode of the Roll Tide Radio Show and all previous installments of it on the local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. All righty, Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Excuse me, not Bill Clark. That was yesterday's co-host. I'm doing too many shows here. I'm already past my career prime. Excuse me, Woody Waters. We were just talking about Bill from War Eagle Weekly. All righty. Woody, forgive me, my friend. I noticed. I'm like, why is he shrugging at me? All right.
You're
please,
quite welcome.
I am going to pass the torch to you. Please say something to get me out of this hole I just dug.
Well, it's probably the weekend prior to total chaos.
Yeah.
As we approach it. And we're sitting here looking at this bracket that we have. It's going to be musical chairs probably before Sunday.
You're looking like a bit of a politician here. Yeah, your hands on the table, looking down at the paper. You're like, well, chaos is upon us. You're like, you're giving like that day of infamy speech. Yeah, well, let me tell you something. Let's just get this out of the way. Someone who is not feeling like infamy is afoot is Alabama.
Yeah.
11th in the playoff rankings. And we'll touch more on kind of the controversy that has come with that a little bit later, but right now, wow. I mean, we kind of already thought Alabama was fixing to punch their ticket, and apparently a double-digit win over Auburn in Tuscaloosa was the way to do that.
Apparently so. I was surprised, I'll be frank, because I believe I'm right in saying this. Alabama is the only three-loss team in the group, are they not?
We could have Clemson if they win the
ACC.
Well,
that's true.
And I believe, does Iowa State have three losses? If they win the Big 12, I can't remember. No, they're one spot beneath Arizona State, and Arizona State's 10-2, so I'm not sure. Bottom line is we could maybe have two or three, perhaps. But, yes, Alabama is the only team right now, I think, who is firmly sitting in the top 12 if the playoffs were to begin today.
Right.
Man. And that's, you know, that's impressive. Defied some odds there, especially after the loss to Oklahoma. Even a lot of Tide fans, yourself included, Woody, you said, man,
I didn't see it.
Yeah, because you told me this team doesn't deserve to be in the playoffs. We don't look good enough to be in the playoffs. And you're there anyway. So I think, you know, if you're an Alabama fan, you got to be over the moon right now, knowing that, okay, we're done. We can sit and watch from home, not having to worry about anything, or so we think. There is a topic we'll tackle later on this broadcast that I think could maybe jeopardize Alabama. It's just a matter of whether the committee would bite the hook on it or not. But right now, let's touch on this Iron Bowl win. So very pivotal showdown, obviously. I think that's been well established. 28-14, the final score. I always have our positives and negatives listed out. Man, it's hard to not have some good stuff to say about this double-digit rivalry win. And putting things statistically, you had more yards, you had more first downs, you did significantly better on third downs, and that played a big role in your time of possession advantage. You had the ball for over 13 minutes longer than the Tigers. That's got to be great.
Yeah. Well, Alabama was intent on not losing that ball game, and that's for sure. But, you know, they played better all the way around.
Right.
And Milroe played better. You know, I hate to say this, but as Milroe goes this year, so goes Alabama. And that, I don't like saying that because I want to see more of a team play than I do a single person.
Well, that I mean, I'm right there with you. Of course, this is a team game, and you see that shine the brightest when you do get into the playoffs and you're playing teams that have earned their right to be there just like you have. So that is a very big concern. And speaking of concerns, there were two negatives that stood out to me in this Auburn win. Turnovers and penalties. And Jalen Milroe played a big role in the former.
He did.
You can't afford to have too much of these in a make-or-break rivalry game, and especially one that came down to just a couple of possessions. Mm-hmm. And Bama did anyway. They won this game. they had more penalties, and they had four turnovers to what, Auburn's two. So, winning this game probably fell more on good fortune than you may think, or maybe just mess-ups by Auburn. Auburn, one of the main things we talked about yesterday on War Eagle Weekly was they heavily, heavily messed up when it came to Jarquez Hunter, their star running back. 28 carries, 130 yards against Texas A&M. Biggest win of the year. The next week against Alabama, a team that has struggled with a rushing attack, whether it be against Vandy and Oklahoma's dual threat QBs, they give him 13 carries. He doesn't even get half the carries that he had against the Aggies. It doesn't make sense, and you're asking for a loss. So this was not only a big win for Bama. This was a hopefully a loss for Auburn that has them staring hard in the mirror.
Yeah. Yeah, they did not utilize their running back in the way they should, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. But because if they had, they could have ran the ball a little bit against Alabama, I think. But
eventually,
yeah. But you know, their play calling has been somewhat suspect all year. My brother is a huge Auburn fan, and he's
bless his heart.
He hadn't been happy all year of that.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen mistakes with Jarquez Hunter. There were some inabilities to close games, whether it be against Missouri or Oklahoma, whoever else. So, yeah, Auburn did definitely have some lows, and I do feel this was one of them, and not just because of the rivalry, but because of everything else. But getting back to the Bama side of this. So, yeah, Jalen Milroe, turnover machine. He threw for 256 yards. Not bad. He ran for 104 yards and all three of his touchdowns. So, not really doing much to kill those running back conversations we were having about him last week. I'm all for dual threat QBs. I'm all for being elusive. It's the sign of a great athlete. The problem is when you throw a pick, but you don't throw any touchdowns, and when you are running for that many yards, and that is the only way you're scoring, and one of your most dominant wins against LSU saw similar, when that is all you're doing, it is. It's a question mark. And you were talking about Jalen Milroe leaving Alabama. If he tries to go to the NFL, these scouts are going to look at that. They're going to be like,
"Oh yeah,
dude, we'll just slap you in the backfield." You know, I mean, Lamar's looking like the best pocket passer in the league next to this guy. It's very concerning. Either way, he lost two fumbles. At that point, you're not even a good running back. You got to be able to hold on to the ball. Why are you running for the hills if you can't hold on to the rock? I mean, it doesn't – he's this guy is scaring the heck out of me. And Alabama fans, first of all, you're listening to Roll Tide Radio every Friday right here on ESPN Pensacola. But secondly, if you're an Alabama fan, you've got to be concerned about this guy going into the playoffs. It doesn't matter that you got in. It doesn't matter that, oh, we're looking better now, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't know what type of Milroe you're going to get week in and week out.
Yep, that's true.
I can't tell if he's Michael Vick or if he's Austin Price. I don't know what to make of the guy because he's looked like both of us. All right, speaking of the rushing game, though, Jam Miller, Justice Haynes, these two had 35 carries, 28 of which went to Jam. They had 104 yards and a score, so matched Milroe in rushing yards. I think Auburn can learn a thing or two from this. I think you guys had a very balanced attack, all things considered. You were able to show the dual threat capabilities of your quarterback while still having a heavy running back game. Mm-hmm. And that kind of offensive balance is going to be pivotal for making the playoffs. It's just turnover control that you got to get down pat.
Right, right. Hold on to the football. And the fumbles that Milroe had, it was just ball security. He didn't put the ball away.
Right.
And allowed it to get knocked out.
And people can argue that, hey, listen, it doesn't matter what the defender does, you shouldn't be dropping that ball. Like, that's going to be what people will tell you all the time. However, you do like to give defenders, a tip of the cap, right? Okay, well, it was a great punch out, well-placed hands on trying to, you know, dig that ball out, whatever. But yeah, if it is a lack of ball control and Milroe's just spastically running around and he's got the ball loose as a goose, yeah, the thing's going to flop out if someone even looks at you funny. So that's just something that Milroe's going to have to take accountability for. But I don't know. I think if you play a tougher defense, I know there are some out there, especially in this bracket, depending on who you play. I know Notre Dame is right now looking like a team you could face, and they are a very physical team. I know they're not as battle-tested as Bama, but they're nonetheless tough. They get some of the most physical talent in the country. I think they've got the line play of a Big Ten team most times. So they're not going to be a pushover. If you play somebody like that, Milroe's going to be pressured. He's going to feel like he has to run, and he's got to tuck the ball.
Yep. And the line has to play better.
Yeah. Yeah. As I said, he's going to feel pressure. The line can help with that. Block for the poor son of a gun. All right, let's see. It's just about 10:13 here. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And, of course, we're brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. When we return, we'll kind of do a bit of a look ahead to this conference title game weekend and the effects that could have on Alabama as they're sitting there on the bottom end of the bracket. That and more coming up.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a win.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. There are now over 150,000 lawyers in the state of Florida. However, less than 1,000 are board-certified civil trial lawyers. I am proud to say that I have been board-certified since 1993. If you need help with any injury case, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
Thanks to Total Wine, you saved more on all the gifts for the ones you adore. Wine, spirits, beers all nestled on shelves. Got some advice from our helpful elves. Oh, so many gifts to explore when you go to Total Wine and more. Bottle so delightful, whoa, whoa, whoa. Price so amazingly low, low, low.
With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
So, you're ready to propose?
Yes, I am.
You got her parents' approval. You told her friends. And you got the ring.
Well.
Luckily, there's GageDiamonds.com with engagement rings in every style for every budget with certified natural diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, and moissanite.
But I'd rather not drain my savings.
Gage lets you buy the ring today and pay over time with no credit needed financing.
Brilliant.
GageDiamonds.com. We're engagements. Middle name.
Exclusions apply.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Here are the ESPN Pensacola 1330 AM 99.1 FM contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other contest prize. Prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning and must be 18 years of age or older to win. For a complete list of rules, visit ESPNPensacola.com.
College football on ESPN Pensacola.
Green 18!
Tomorrow, it's the SEC Championship game with the Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Texas Longhorns at 2:30 p.m. Georgia was the only team to beat Texas in the regular season. Can they do it again for the SEC Championship? Catch every pass, every play right here, where the champions play. ESPN. Pensacola. Today in college play, Tulane takes on Army in the AAC Championship game at 6 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola. Champions play here.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. And brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you. And Woody, when we left off, talk about Alabama. Of course, nice win over the Iron Bowl. That was all well and purdy. But now we're in a position where Alabama, they've got – They can't feel too confident because, first of all, if you feel too confident, that's what gets you a loss to teams like Oklahoma. Second of all, if you're looking at how Milroe's playing and you're looking at how, okay, we really missed some opportunities at times against Auburn and we're going to see a huge jump in that competition, we're going to be destined to be on the road for our first playoff game. We don't get a bye. We get a tough environment. If it's somewhere like Notre Dame, we could be in some pretty jarring weather conditions, so on and so forth. When you look at that situation, you have to be a bit concerned, and you also have to be, I would say, while that's where Alabama fans, while that's where their mindset is now, they also have to be concerned about if they don't make the playoff at all, because there's one game that I think can kick you out. Do you know what game that is, my friend?
That would be the Clemson-SMU game.
Undoubtedly. You look at the rest of the conference title games, and we'll give our score predictions on those later, but when you look at those, they all have their implications, sure, but we're looking at a position now where SMU could, let's say they lose to Clemson by a field goal. Their argument is going to be, we went toe-to-toe with two top 20 teams. We're 11-2. We made a conference title game. Alabama didn't. Mm-hmm. Are you going to kick us out over them? And it's just a matter of whether the committee does that. Do you think, as a Bama fan, do you think the committee would do that?
I don't know. I think they very well could. I'll say that. But whether they do or not, I can't figure out this committee. I mean,
yeah, I'm coming to that sobering realization myself.
They have been one way one week and another way another week.
Right.
But that's beside the case. I don't know. If it's close, it's going to be up in the air.
Right. I think if SMU gets beat up.
Yeah, if Clemson comes in there and wears SMU out by three touchdowns, then no, I don't think the committee's going to let SMU go.
Yeah, and I would find that more difficult to defend. I don't think people would be up in arms about that. I don't think people would be upset if a two-loss SMU got left out, period.
Right.
But people would still pose that argument if it was a close game. I think if Clemson got just railroaded SMU, mm-hmm. yeah, it would probably be a bit different. That's easily the biggest story that I wanted to touch on with the conference title games right now, because that's the one that's going to impact Bama. There are some other ones here. UNLV, Boise State, both top 20 teams. That's a rematch from earlier in this year. Winner of that game gets the Group of Five bid, most likely to the playoff. Arizona State, Iowa State, we talked about their records earlier, both 10-2. One of the more narrow games, and that's saying something. Arizona State only favored by 1.5. They're probably, unless UNLV beats Boise State, this guy's probably going to be the 12 seed. But either way, great stories for both sides. Georgia, Texas, both make the playoffs no matter what. Penn State, Oregon, both make the playoffs no matter what. But I told you this earlier, Woody, looking at all of these games, including the Group of Five ones, the most lopsided spread is Louisiana over Marshall by 6 points. So we should be in for some good football this weekend. So you can, and that all starts tonight, by the way. It starts at 6 o'clock on the CBS Sports Network with Western Kentucky and Jacksonville State. So you can keep your eye out for that one. But we also got UNLV, Boise State, and Tulane Army tonight. So we got some ranked action here as we get settled into the weekend. But either way, we'll move on. Wanted to touch on this because I mentioned this to you before. Before we went live this morning, Lane Kiffin, he's a character, ain't he? He was livid on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, and I understand why. I'm going to set the tone here if you don't mind. Ole Miss and Alabama were sitting neck and neck in the rankings last week. Alabama was ranked one spot ahead, and it was looking like, okay, if the playoffs begin today, Ole Miss would probably be more like the first team out. Bama would be the last team in. I was one of many. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was one of many who was like, that's ridiculous. Ole Miss looked better against Georgia, South Carolina, was more consistent all throughout the year. They have the same record in the same league. Ole Miss needs to be ranked higher. And I felt it was a pretty fair argument, and I'm like, what are the chances that the committee puts Ole Miss ahead of Alabama now that they've both beaten losing rivals by two touchdowns? That was the question for me. I thought the chances weren't very high, but boy, was I wrong. They were non-existent. The committee doubled down and put Miami, two-loss Miami, over Ole Miss. Yeah. Miami is now the dividing line between Alabama and Ole Miss, and you put it best. Clearly, at this point, the committee's just not seeing something in the Rebels.
They're not. The way they ranked Ole Miss last week, they're not seeing something for sure.
And
Ole Miss has got a good football team.
For sure, they absolutely do. And that's what makes this so disheartening if you're an Ole Miss fan, I'm sure. The problem is, though, if I'm an Ole Miss fan today, I'm livid at the committee and I'm livid at Alabama. Because I'm going to be saying what everybody else was saying, and I told you, and you even left the door open for this being a possibility. Alabama probably got in because they are the Crimson Tide. There's brand, there's legacy, and there's more money involved. That could definitely be a factor in moments like this. But do you think Lane Kiffin said that?
No.
No, he didn't. Lane Kiffin spent his energy, buffoon that he is, on his phone going after the ACC. He blamed us all on Miami. It's their fault! He went after them, talking about the committee's just trying to make the ACC feel relevant. He starts cherry-picking results that Ole Miss has had against ACC teams in the past, and people just started doing it back. And I got to tell you, in the midst of all of it, I stopped feeling sorry for the dork. I mean, I did. He completely missed the point. If he called the committee out on all their nonsense, it'd be great. But he didn't. He missed the point entirely and went to kick a conference that's already down. That is so typical. I despise that man. I mean, goodness gracious. Anyway, I'm not going to let my emotions get the best of me. We'll just move on.
And he did all that on Twitter, right?
Yes, all that was on Twitter, or X as it is now.
That is Lane's Twitter world.
Yeah, that's his MO. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price, Woody Waters here in the studio with you. All right, so here's what we'll do. There's a couple of games here, as I said, 9 games in total, and what, 5 of them do not have any playoff implications whatsoever. So we're going to go ahead and crank those out, actually, because as this broadcast continues today, I want to talk on obviously these bigger games, but also Alabama basketball and with how they're sitting today, and really SEC basketball as a whole. So we'll put that stuff on for later. Let's just crank out some of these predictions here. Western Kentucky at Jacksonville State, 2 8-4 teams. No offense to either school, but this is the most meaningless conference title game. 2 8-4 squads. Mm-hmm. Jacksonville State favored by 4.5. But Western Kentucky, I think, won by 2 just a week ago. You think Jacksonville State gets some revenge here?
Where are they playing? At Jacksonville State?
Yes. Some of these conference title games are in one field. So Jacksonville State does have home field advantage. This is not neutral site.
I don't know. Western Kentucky's got a pretty good football team now.
Right, they're pretty consistent.
But I hadn't seen Jacksonville State, so I can't say the same about – well, I can't say anything about them. But if they're favored by 2.5, they're playing at home, I'd probably stay with them.
Well, we talk about how, you know, rematches are tricky, and we'll touch more on that when it comes to Georgia and Texas. But – I feel like this is one of those games where Jacksonville State, you know, you caught them lacking. You beat them, low scoring. I think it was 19-17, kind of a weird score. You know, whatever, good for them. Jacksonville State is about to, I think, open the can of whooping on Western Kentucky. I got Jacksonville State probably by like 3 scores. So I think it's going to be pretty convincing. And, yeah, I mean, I know you were kind of more on the fence, but will you join me into Jacksonville State officially? Will you join me in that corner?
Yeah.
I was about to say, I don't want to be alone over here. All right, Tulane at Army. I was, you know, glass half full is every weekday morning from 9 to 10 here on ESPN Pensacola, and I was talking to Jordan just last hour about this game, and I'll ask you this before I even say anything about who I think is going to win. Army's 10-1, only lost to Notre Dame. They are number 24 in the country. Do you think there's any avenue that they get the Group of Five spot in the bracket?
I don't see why they shouldn't if they win.
I'm just seeing too many red flags. Boise State's ranked 10th, right? They're expected to beat UNLV again, and obviously that would kill Army's chances. But you have to consider if Boise State loses, UNLV's already four spots ahead of them. UNLV's resume at that point would be an overtime loss to Syracuse, who's ranked, and they would have undone their other loss that was to Boise State. I don't know if Army getting smeared by Notre Dame is good enough to outweigh that. Army's strength of schedule is not as good, and the one ranked team they played, I think it's the only ranked team they've played, they couldn't compete. At least UNLV could compete with a ranked Power 4 team. Notre Dame's Power 4 level, Army got ran off the field.
Where are they playing this game? Tulane?
This is another one that is not neutral site. It is in Mikey Stadium in West Point, New York.
Oh, it's at Army's place.
Yes.
It's going to be cold.
It is expected to be 30 degrees right now. So that's going to be jarring. Talked about that yesterday morning. That is going to be jarring for Tulane.
Yeah.
You got those Louisianians going up there. I don't know if there is any – I mean, because this is a 7 p.m. game tonight. I don't know what the forecast is for New York today. But 30 degrees, that could perhaps be some snowfall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And Army Stadium, right on the water. It's going to be even cooler.
Going to be colder.
Frigid, yes.
It's going to be one of those bone-chilling colds.
So Tulane, this is tough. Tulane has a very tough task on their hands, but they're still favored by 5, and I still took them to win. I think Tulane's a bit more battle-tested. I think Army reminds everybody with this game why the committee never really believed in them in the rankings. I feel like Tulane is just a better team. They played Kansas State. They played Oklahoma. They faced Memphis, and while they lost badly, I think they learned a lot from that loss potentially. I'm seeing too many red flags here for Army, even at home.
Well, that's probably true from that viewpoint or standpoint. But and Tulane's got an up-and-coming coach that is getting more and more in demand.
Right.
For other people right now. There's a lot of eyes beginning to settle on him to hire him away from Tulane. So we'll see. He's impressed me what little time I've watched him this year.
Yeah, either way, I mean, great story for both sides. Tulane really defied some odds. I think after Willie Fritz left, they were kind of expected to crash a little bit, but they haven't. An Army, first year in the American, 10-1. I mean, what else can you ask from them other than asking them to beat Notre Dame? But, yeah, I appreciate that Army feels like they still have a shot. I just don't think they're going to be able to make it.
Maybe not. I don't know.
And then we've got on Saturday, Ohio and Miami of Ohio. Man, this was a – I'll just ask. It's 10:30 anyway, so I'll just ask for a quick pick here. Miami of Ohio favored by 2. This is neutral site. It's at Ford Field in Detroit.
Miami of Ohio.
Yeah, they beat Ohio earlier this season, and it was a close game, I believe. I say Ohio gives them a scare this time, comes down to a couple points. And I think I said it yesterday. I actually had a pretty specific, an oddly specific prediction for this one. I got Ohio needing a field goal. They're down by 2, but they're not in range, so they got to go for it on 4th. They don't get it. If I'm right on that, I'm going to be one happy camper. All right, and then lastly here, Marshall and Louisiana. This is, once again, one-sided site. Lafayette, Louisiana, Cajun Field. Cajun's favored by 6. I absolutely agree.
I agree.
That sounds like standard home field advantage spread, but also I've done my research on them. They are more offensively proven. They have struggled less, a more just all-around better and consistent team. But Marshall's got a good offense as well, so I expect that to be one of the higher-scoring games of the weekend. But either way, Louisiana, that seems like it's absolutely their game to lose. All right, just past 10:30 here. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. When we return, Woody and I will touch on some of the stuff that's going on in college basketball right now. I wanted to devote some time to that. And my goodness, Alabama's looking good, but the SEC's looking great. So we got details on why we say that and more coming up.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantonment is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware and Cantonment, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
This holiday season, you can give the gift of hope, stability, and a brighter future. Pensacola Habitat for Humanity is creating lasting change by providing affordable home ownership opportunities right here in Escambia and Santa Rosa counties. Together, they can change lives for generations to come. Your end-of-the-year gift not only builds homes, it builds hope. And with tax season approaching, it's a gift that gives back to you, too. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and give today, because everyone deserves.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
This college football moment is brought to you by ServPro.
College football teams have moments they recovered from and made it like it never even happened. For instance, TCU walked into the locker room at halftime in the 2016 Alamo Bowl, down 31-0. The Horned Frogs stormed into the second half and erased a 31-point deficit to force overtime, and eventually won it in the third overtime, 47-41.
ServPro, like it never even happened.
The best mornings
in the morning light
start with Wrangler.
I pull on my jeans and I feel all right.
Jeans, jackets, and shirts that get your day started on the right foot.
I pull my blue jeans on. I pull my old blue jeans on.
Good mornings make for better days.
I pull my blue jeans on. I pull my old blue jeans on.
Wrangler, for the ride of life.
Shop limited-time deals on last-minute gifts now at Lowe's. Save $50 on a Werner 6-foot aluminum stepladder. Was $89, now just $39. Plus, get your choice of select Craftsman V20 tools for only $39. And save time and money with free shipping on orders of $45 or more. Because Lowe's knows deals. Offers valid 12/5 through 12/11 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii.
Today in college play, Tulane takes on Army in the AAC Championship game at 6 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola. Champions play here.
It's the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to this episode of Roll Tide Radio, but also all the previous ones on our podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. And if I didn't already say so, you can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you, as always. And Woody, I wanted to devote some time to college basketball here because over the course of the next couple of weeks, we may take a short hiatus here on the Roll Tide Radio Show, but perhaps we will be back in a week or two to discuss some of this basketball stuff that's going on, and of course we'll keep you posted on that stuff as it happens. But let me just say right now, there's a lot of good to talk about, not just with Alabama basketball, but with SEC basketball as a whole.
Yeah. The conference as a whole is super, super strong this year, as has been proven out by their early play against their non-conference schedules.
Right. I'm looking at Alabama's schedule here. Y'all are 7-2 officially. I think it was like some – I don't know if it was like some exhibition game. Yeah, it was a charity exhibition game. You played my Wake Forest Demon Deacons, and I'm ashamed to say you beat the snot out of us, 98-77. You beat Memphis. They're a decent team. You beat them 96-88, and you crushed some, you know, a couple more small schools. But then once you get into your season, you played a ranked Purdue, and you lost, but it was competitive. Mm-hmm. You beat a ranked Illinois by double digits. You beat a highly ranked Houston. You also most recently beat North Carolina in the ACC Challenge. UNC was ranked. Beat them by 15. So you're one of the more battle-tested teams right now, and you're looking phenomenal.
Yeah, and then in a week or so, we play Creighton. So
yes.
Nate Oates is not shying away from competition.
Right.
I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, a week from tomorrow, y'all play Creighton. And Creighton's gotten a lot of love because, you know, oh, well, they just beat a number one ranked team in back-to-back seasons. Yeah, I'm sorry I told you during the break, Woody. I'm not sold on Creighton. I would not be surprised if one of two things happen. You either beat Creighton a week from tomorrow, or Creighton beats y'all and they end up doing nothing with it. I would not be surprised if either of those things happen. It's not a knock on Creighton. I know it's – well, it is. But I know it's not necessarily an analytical one. Mm-hmm. I'm not bringing up stats. I'm just saying, Creighton, I see them every year. I buy into the hype every year, and they collapse every year. They're a regular season team. But that means Bama's got a pretty tall order on their hands. So it's going to be one heck of a game. Probably high scoring if I had to guess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because – I mean, Alabama's MO is they're getting the ball and they're getting it out and they're running.
Right.
And they're looking for threes first.
Well, and luckily Creighton's got to travel to Tuscaloosa. That's a good ways. I think you are more than equipped to handle this. Don't know what the consensus is looking like right now with who's going to win. And, of course, we're over a week out, as we mentioned. This game's December 14th, a week from tomorrow. But, yeah, it's definitely one to keep track of and one of the more implicating games of the regular season weekend slate coming up. But also I wanted to talk about the SEC in general. This team in Alabama, by beating up on UNC, just kind of added to the carnage.
Mm-hmm.
We had the SEC-ACC challenge.
Right.
And you got to win 9 games as a conference to win the challenge, quote-unquote. Late in the Clemson-Kentucky game, Clemson was trying to win, and the banner popped up on the screen. The SEC has won the challenge. They were up 9-0. ACC, for years, especially like decades ago before Florida State came along, it was seen as a basketball league. And now the SEC, who's supposed to be the meat-headed football conference, they're spanking everybody over here. What's going on?
Well, you got to give credit to Greg Stanky. I think he is built that – he's built basketball up and made basketball more relevant. And, you know, and I'm not talking about at Alabama, just at Alabama. I'm talking about across the board in the conference.
Right.
They've created more money, or they've gotten more money. And I think that's a direct result of the SEC network and – you know, how much money that contributes to the league. And so, you know, basketball has become more relevant with all the teams in the conference.
Right.
And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I think Kentucky, and I know they've got a first-year head coach, but they ended up losing that game to Clemson. And with some of the struggles that they've had when they've made the postseason, and now with how things are looking with how deep this conference is in basketball, I think Kentucky's kind of feeling how the Alabamas felt in the football season, where it was like, okay, playing field looking a little bit more level, right? Mm-hmm. Kentucky was supposed to be the golden child of the SEC basketball world, and for years they were. But now all of a sudden, Alabama's a Final Four team as of last season. Tennessee is at that same level. You've got Auburn looking like one of the most battle-tested and proven teams in the country right now with Jahni Broome. You've got teams like now Arkansas, they've got Calipari, so they may be a good team, may not be a championship winner, but they're going to be good most likely. You're bringing in someone like Texas, who has had good years. This conference is looking deeper than ever, and Kentucky's got to be feeling kind of stymied.
Yeah. Well, they got a first-year coach, and that's – I don't care what you say, that's a transition.
Right.
And so you're going to have some hiccups there. Plus, I'm not familiar enough with Kentucky's personnel. I don't know whether they're young or whether they're middle of the road or whether they're seniors.
Right.
But I highly doubt they got a lot of seniors.
Yeah. You know,
because of the nature one and done the last few years.
And Alabama, after they play Creighton, I mean, their next several games before they get into conference play, I think are just total pushovers. You got North Dakota, you got Kent State, you got South Dakota State. Don't know much about these football program or these basketball programs, excuse me. They can't be that great. I don't exactly hear about South Dakota State making any Cinderella runs. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming you're going to have those guys handled. Once you get into conference play, you start with Oklahoma, and then it kind of ramps up after that. You got to go to South Carolina. Ole Miss has been a team that is either currently ranked or was recently, and then it's Kentucky. It's LSU. It's that Arkansas team we talked about. It's Texas. It's Auburn. We start getting into very, very heavy conference play. So this Creighton game, I think, is going to be your last true test before that, and I think it's going to be a game that Alabama needs to send one final message to the rest of the conference that, hey, we're an everything school.
Right, right. And that's pretty much why the early schedule has been like it is. It was similar schedule with Alabama last year when Nate scheduled all those tough out-of-conference games. And it paid dividends for them. So, and I think that's the same road they're on right now.
Right. They always talk about my father. He's a Florida State fan. God bless him. And he lived through the Bobby Bowden days and talked about how great it was and everything. And he mentioned how Florida State football, man, they got on the phone and they called up big dog programs because they wanted an opportunity to prove themselves and prove, listen, we're not some schmuck. We're not some team that's feeding on the weak. We're for real. We're here to play. And of course we saw how well that worked out for them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's absolutely respectable to see Alabama basketball trying to do the same. Auburn's doing so. Purdue playing both Iron Bowl teams. So Purdue's trying to maintain their relevance and maintain their grip on the college basketball world as well. And that's, speaking of Purdue, that's another league that the SEC is kind of battling for some superiority with.
Yeah.
The ACC, man, they've kind of taken a bit of a they've taken a hike, but the Big Ten, they're looking phenomenal. Purdue, Ohio State's been good. Michigan's been good. Indiana, of course, it comes with the name. Illinois, either currently or was recently ranked. So the Big Ten's kind of looking pretty deep as well.
Yeah, they are, and I don't know about in the Big East, is what's Connecticut look like? They're going to be good. We know that.
UConn is struggling hard.
Are they?
They've already had a few losses. The Maui Invitational really did a number on them, and of course, that's where an SEC team, Auburn, shined. But yeah, UConn, I want to say they lost to Memphis, and did they lose to Colorado? They took a couple of beatings, and yeah, so they're having a very bumpy start. I will give that early prediction. Don't want to sit here and bore you with just going one game after the other with basketball because there's a lot to dig into with that. But I'll say that much. UConn ain't going three in a row.
No, I wouldn't think so.
Not with how they're looking right now. They're definitely having kind of a sophomore slump. But regardless, UConn, they were a great story, but they are struggling. The Big East, though, is another one of those deep leagues. Providence has tried to look decent. Creighton, of course, floating around over there. Xavier was ranked at a time, I believe, if they're not still. So the Big East, they're really good, and that's with some of their more respectable programs at times really stinking right now. Georgetown, DePaul, they've been really having some struggles lately, but they've had their moments at times. So it's the Big East is good and could be even better.
Yeah, they generally. I mean, there could be somebody that comes out of that league toward the end of the year, or the end of the season, I should say.
Right.
That, you know, is gonna be a player in it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think right now, Alabama. I can't believe I'm saying this, and I'm not just saying it to be cinematic. I think Alabama and Auburn are the two most proven teams right now. There's good conferences, of course. We just now talked about them. But if I had to narrow down two teams that I think are the most battle-tested, looking the best overall, Alabama and Auburn are in that conversation. And we'll see if we can carry this show over into the basketball season. But if we do, and if we get an Alabama-Auburn postseason implicating matchup, we're going to have to keep an eye on that one. 10:47 here. You're listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. You can listen to this episode of the Roll Tide Radio Show and all previous ones on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. And you can also find this station on 1330 AM, 99.1 FM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. We'll take one last quick break when we return. I had talked about some of those bigger, more meaningful conference title games that are coming up this weekend on the college football scene. And we'll see what those could mean. We'll revisit what that could mean for Alabama, but also what it means for the seeding. And who knows, maybe Alabama will get a bit of a lucky break here with who they may have to face. I think if Jalen Milroe doesn't get his ball control under wraps, they may need all the luck they can get. So we'll touch on that and some more stuff, just frivolous stuff, as we come to the final stretch here on the Roll Tide Radio Show.
It's time for some football, and Ace Hardware in Cantoma is geared up with everything you'll need to make your cookout and tailgating party a winner.
Green 18!
Big Green Egg, Napoleon, and Traeger grills, tents, propane fills, Yeti coolers and tumblers, folding chairs, folding tables, and outdoor umbrellas, plus hardware items to get your patio, pool, or outside deck in winning shape. Think football, think Ace Hardware in Cantoma, and score big time. Ace Hardware, 1560 South Highway 29.
Are you a business owner? Do you love sports? I bet your audience does too. What if I told you we could help you reach your audience while they're at a sporting event? Let ADX Digital help you connect to your audience. Call 850-262-6000 and build a digital campaign with us today. ADX Digital is locally owned and part of the ADX Communications family, inclusive of Cat Country 98.7, News Radio 92.3, ESPN Pensacola 99.1, and Pensacola's Playlist 94.5.
Hey fans, welcome back to Fansville's Cheers and Tears. Oh. Okay, so like everybody deals with losing, right? To a rival on a last second field goal, whatever, it's fine, I'm totally fine. But I cope with losing with an ice cold Dr. Pepper. Those 23 flavors are like so delicious. They totally wash away the pain of your college football team taking a big fat L. College football, it's a pepper thing.
Adam Schefter here with Vivid Seats. We've got some late-breaking news coming out of the stands. According to multiple sources, Vivid Seats fans are scoring rewards on every purchase and at a rapid pace. Obviously, these rewards are a game-changer, and coupled with their MVP-worthy ticket selection, why get tickets anywhere else? Don't drop the ball this season. Shop with Vivid Seats and earn rewards on every ticket. And as the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code Schefter. That's code Schefter.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
This is Wayne Barr from Anderson Subaru, wishing you a wonderful Christmas and a happy new year. God bless.
May your Christmas be filled with joy, love, and laughter. This is Pensacola Hardware, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, this is Abby at Stillwater's Day Medical Spa, and we're wishing you a happy holiday.
Hi, this is Leslie Perino with EW Bullet, wishing everyone happy holidays.
This is Riley from Drip Parlor Downtown, wishing you happy holidays to you and your family from ours.
You want it? You got it. College football on ESPN Pensacola.
Green 18!
Tomorrow, it's the SEC Championship game with the Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Texas Longhorns at 2:30 p.m. Georgia was the only team to beat Texas in the regular season. Can they do it again for the SEC Championship? Catch every pass, every play right here, where the champions play. ESPN. Pensacola. Sunday, in NFL play, the Browns take on the Steelers at 11 a.m., then the Chargers clash with the Chiefs at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
Roll Tide. Tide Radio Show every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, and brought to you by Ace Hardware on Highway 29 in Cantonment. Austin Price and Woody Waters here in the studio with you as per usual. Woody, all right, I mentioned that before we went to break, I said we would look at some of these more playoff indicative games and give our thoughts on them, along with, you know, some of the more stuff as far as how could this affect Alabama, and just touching some of the frivolous, you know, more trendy social media topics that are surrounding some of them. We'll start with UNLV Boise State. I told you earlier, winner of this game most likely going to be the Group of Five representative in the playoff. Boise State won their first matchup by 5 points, but UNLV has looked far better than they typically get credit for. Boise State favored by 4.5. Do you think they can contain Ginty and that Broncos offense enough to win this time around?
It's possible. I don't know. I saw a little bit of Boise State this past weekend, and they're a pretty solid football team.
Right.
You know, it's going. Where's that game played?
That is in Boise, Idaho, Albertson Stadium, okay. The blue turf.
So it's on the blue field.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to beat Boise. I think Boise will prevail.
I agree with you. I hyped up UNLV, but they lost when they were at home. Boise State, when you try to contain Ginty, there's a very real chance that you see, because we've seen it throughout this regular season, you see that Boise State offense, the rest of it, start to really shine. I think it's going to be a battle of physicality. Who's better on paper? Boise State from head to toe. They are the better-built team. You're going on their turf. I think they know what's at stake.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going to plow through, try to just make the playoffs. One game at a time mentality. It'll probably be a pretty forgettable score. I think I put 23-10 was my official score prediction earlier this week, and that is only because I say that that's going to be a forgettable score because I hate scores like that. They're pretty low scoring, and with that, there's not a lot of big plays most likely, but also it's a two-score game, so it wasn't really down to the wire. So it's going to be one of those boring games this Friday night. Hate to break it to you. All right. Iowa State at Arizona State. I think this one's far more entertaining. 1.5-point spread. Winner wins the Big 12 and probably makes that 12 seed in the bracket. Both great stories this year.
Yep. That should be a really good ball game. And that one is played where?
Arlington, Texas. Arlington. AT&T Stadium.
Okay, so that's played on an independent field.
Yeah. Neutral site.
Okay. Who's favored?
Arizona State by 1.5. Iowa State's kept defying odds, though. Iowa State, I haven't really bought them because they seemed like they were kind of a weaker resume at times. They were more flighty. But they beat K-State. I didn't expect that. And now they're sitting here. They've got the longer tenured head coach. They're more familiar with the bigger, tougher Big 12 games. Arizona State's a great story, and I'm taking them to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Cyclones got one here tomorrow morning.
I would not be surprised at all if Iowa State pulls an upset there.
Right. I'll take ASU to win. Obviously, I have them to cover. It's a 1.5-point spread. But anyone's game here.
That's a pick'em.
Yeah, and I love games like that. I'm glad that these two have had the seasons that they have, because it really does add to some implications for the playoff. But also, it's just, as I said, two great stories. Iowa State was 7-6 last year. Matt Campbell was looking like he had missed his shot in his prime in Ames, Iowa. Now 10-2. I think it's their first 10-win regular season ever. Sitting how they are. Great for them, but Arizona State 3-9 last season, first year in the Big 12, and they're doing what they've done. It's phenomenal on both ends.
Yeah.
3:00, ABC, No. 5, Georgia, No. 2, Texas. It's in Atlanta. Georgia went to Austin and won by double digits, but now Texas favored by 2.5. Do you buy that?
No.
They suck.
That's motivation for Kirby and Georgia. Texas is going to be basically playing in front of a home crowd. And I don't know how many tickets Texas could buy, but nearly not enough for sure.
Right.
It's going to be probably 65-75% Georgia fans, and it's going to be loud in that dome. I see Georgia winning that ball game.
I've got Georgia winning because with all that we've talked about with Georgia and Texas, whether it be – the adaptability of a great coach like Kirby Smart, just how much talent Georgia has at their disposal, with how unimpressive Texas has looked throughout the bulk of their league play, with how lopsided their first game was. There's too many red flags for me. I've got Georgia winning. It'll be closer than last game, but I've got Georgia winning. Number three, Penn State. Number one, Oregon. Oregon favored by 3.5, and I think rightfully so. I think both teams could be more proven than they are. This is in Indianapolis, Lucas Oil Stadium. But I've seen some people saying Penn State has a real shot.
Some people may think they do. I don't.
I don't either.
Penn State, I mean, Franklin cannot win, or so far to date, cannot win the big game.
He can't.
And I think Oregon is going to have what's his name, the head coach for Oregon?
Dan Lanning.
Lanning is going to have Oregon ready to play.
Yeah.
And I think Oregon is going to come out with the win.
Yeah, Lanning's a better motivator for sure. But I'd also say that when it comes to this matchup, I'll tell you what I told Jordan last hour. This is a battle of coaching, absolutely, and Penn State has proven that under James Franklin, they can really make some errors with execution. Mm-hmm. Ohio State did the same against Michigan and Oregon, and look at how it turned out. So it's a very pivotal change there. You can't make mistakes with some of this mental game, especially against a team like Oregon, and I think that shines here. Give me the Ducks. All right, last but not least, Clemson-SMU. This for Bama. Again, SMU, if they lose close, maybe they'd have an argument to get in over the Tide. They're favored by 2.5, though, in Charlotte. Can Clemson win and somehow squeak in? Or does SMU keep their Cinderella run alive?
Oh. Clemson can win. I don't think they are. SMU's going to win.
Clemson's the better team on paper, but SMU has just done so much that you want to talk about great stories. They're a phenomenal one. I've got them winning like 33-27.
SMU?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think they'll stay – obviously that means they will stay ranked, mm-hmm. and they will stay ranked high. They will clinch a bye. Clemson will be, what, 9-4? They're done.
Yeah.
And Alabama fans will be rejoicing.
Yeah.
Because your ticket is just all the more guaranteed there.
Yeah. Yeah, so, pretty much punched if that happens.
All right, Woody, well, I may see you in a couple weeks, my friend, and we may tackle some Alabama basketball. But until then, best of luck to Alabama in the playoffs, which they seem destined to make. You've been listening to the Roll Tide Radio Show every Friday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 a.m., 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.